Hello, this is your host of ESBK Studios, Richard Dort, and this is another special. I get to do another interview with Shalina, wrapping up her time on the Engage prototype, Supermoto prototype, and on the TTX, and hopefully got a little more insight into what's going on with the big boys. Eric Bostrom was really, really good to me and replied and to a couple of my tweets, so that was really appreciated. Thank you, Eric. I haven't heard. I tried to get Eric and or Brian on. I assume everyone on the team is like completely wiped out, so I probably won't be hearing from Brian for a couple of days. I know I didn't hear any emails from him for a few days before the weekend, except Saturday morning, giving me some really cool insight. So I appreciate that, Brian. Let's see here. Huge, as you hear, reactions on my webpage. Yesterday was a record by 101 hits, a one-day record, and the week record by 100 hits exactly. And today is over the previous record. It was 491 hits yesterday, something like that. And 490 exactly, and then today so far we're up to, I think we're over 430. No, we're at 429, which is still more than the previous 389. So I appreciate it. Really appreciate all the support, folks. It's a little weird. Facebook traffic's down, but the website traffic's through the roof. So I'm getting a lot more international traffic. Which is appreciated. Still, the main bulk of it, the huge, is about percentage-wise, is the same. So, thank you to the American listeners and readers, and thank you to all the other international, you know, the rest of the world. Thank you for noticing me in this, you know, country of ours that we're so proud of. So, anyway, yeah, let me stop babbling, and here's Shalina.
There we go. Now it's recording. Okay, cool.
We're on.
All right, so we're on, and I've got Shalina, and it is Monday, and we were talking about how I'm so wiped because I sat in front of the computer for 9 hours looking at tiny little security video feed and listening to the announcers talk about how the electric bikes might run out of battery.
Because he's so dedicated. I love it. And
ignore
we're talking
all
about how wiped I am because I raced my butt off this weekend from road racing to supermoto to road racing back to supermoto, yelling at bikes, yelling at riders, and my voice is gone.
Nice.
No, not gone, just scratchy.
No,
but,
I do. I feel silly for being wiped out from sitting in front of a computer. All I did was sit, but
yeah,
I didn't
but
move.
It's nerve-wracking, right? Like, you're excited. And
I was excited, but you're not up and moving around, so you're just weird, lethargic. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
I gotta go. I'm gonna try to go ride. Ooh, it's nice out. I'm gonna go try to ride the mountain bike, I think, after.
Nice. Yeah, it's nice today here too. It's cloudy, but the sun's like peeking through. And yesterday we had some rain, so it scared us like we might not get our races in. But
yeah.
We got them.
Yeah. We were talking about that. It started raining, and I did post. I posted a rain delay on the blog, and I was kind of doing updates on Facebook, and yeah, it started to rain. Fortunately, Jim, known as Flar on the Bramble forums, would jump into the Google Plus chat hangout, and he gave us an update, and he said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take – it looks like everyone's taking a lunch, and then so we're going to take a lunch break now and then let the rainstorm go through. And it was just a little one.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, which is nice because they wouldn't race Lagoon or Infineon Sonoma – If it was wet, it's too slippery, that track is. So.
The racetrack with three identities.
Yeah, and same with the supermoto track. We wouldn't have raced there. They took a break as well. So, which it was kind of a bummer because the races, the schedule, the way that everything was scheduled out, it was going to be perfect. My TTX race was in the morning, and then I would go up to supermoto and do my heat race. And then I would get to come back down and watch Eric race, or Steve. Steve was the first race. I would come back down to watch Steve race, and then I was going to get to go back up to my supermoto race and then come watch Eric race. But then with the rain, it was they sped things up at Supermoto and slowed things down at AFM, and both of my heat race and my main race for Supermoto were at the same time as Steven and Eric's races. I was like, oh man. Both of us are like getting our gear on, all three of us are getting our gear on at the same time. We're like, all right, team, good luck, you know, like, go kick some ass. So it was funny. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We were a little bummed that we didn't see, because we heard Eric Bostrom get announced by the announcers to be on the TTX in the 500 Twins race.
Uh-huh.
But then checked the results, and it turns out he'd never started.
Yeah.
So that was... We were all excited for a minute.
Yeah. And it would have been cool if he got to race it. But there was a lot, I can tell you, it was so busy. Like, yeah. We were, you know, managing the charging and everything else and going over the data and stuff. Like, especially the charging, because we've got the three road race bikes and then the Supermoto bike, which that wasn't the priority for the weekend, you know. But getting the TTX bike charged back up, we only had, I think we had two chargers or whatever.
Yeah.
And so those were on the RR bikes for the most part. And TTX got charged up for me, but I don't think that there was time to do it for Eric or something like that. I don't know. It was just so busy. We just didn't get to do it.
Okay.
Focusing on the main ones, the RRs and then the TTX for me.
Yep. Wow. All right. Yeah, so it might have been not quite charged is why Eric didn't get to go out on the TTX.
Yeah, it was either that or just it was just too busy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, trying to. As I said, I mean, it was pretty much flawless execution. Did Steve had a glitch or something? It was one of the guys reported in the Bramble Forum. Steve had a small issue in the Formula One race.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what happened. I heard something about there was a group of four of them. I heard Steve talking about there's a group of four riders that he was kind of battling with, and he said something about the bike cut out for just a split second, but it was enough to jumble the guy that was right behind him, and the guy hit Steve's arm as he went by Steve.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that shook Steve up because he had that big crash at Sonoma last year. So.
Yeah.
I think it shook him up a little bit there, but all in all, I think that the race went really well. I mean, it sounded like to me.
Yeah. So. Well, Steve ran in Formula One, which was the first one, was right after the rain.
Uh-huh.
It was the first race after the rain. Steve, according to the lap times, only did 3 laps, and Eric did 5, so neither of them. Eric was only out there to check the settings for 750 Superbike.
Eric wasn't officially in that race, so if he would have finished, it would have taken points away from people who were officially in the race.
Right. So, all right, but they ended up both doing 750 Superbikes.
Yeah.
And they were both. I think Eric hit 149 and Steve hit a 150 in the race.
Okay.
So that's pretty good.
I was thinking both were 49s, but I could be wrong. Again, I wasn't watching. I was racing the Supermoto at the same time.
I think Steve hit a 49 sometime during the day.
Yeah, I know he did it sometime.
Yeah, so he hit a 149.
Yeah, and they learned a lot from it. I know that was a big thing, like, we learned a ton this weekend all together. I mean, from their bikes, I know that they're figuring out, like, handling stuff and everything else. And so I think it was a really productive weekend.
Awesome. Yeah,
and
Your bike lost.
My bike.
Seventh place.
What did you say?
I said you got seventh place.
Heck yeah, I did. I came from 14th spot, past half the pack. Came in seventh. I was pretty excited about it. The bike was running really good. We were, you know, switching up some things through the weekend, as I told you before, the gearing and then the suspension. We were making some changes, and we got it. And then, we did a compound change in the tire. Like, we went from a soft to a medium, and tried that out just on Sunday morning. I was pretty nervous about it, to be honest, because I like running softer tires.
Yeah.
But we talked to Dunlop, and they were like, yeah, this is the one to try. And so we did it, and it worked well. I dropped another second off my times.
Yeah, you did. You got under 2 minutes.
Yep. I got down to 159s.
Low 159s, too. Not like high 159s, like low 159s.
And consistent 159s as well. Not
there
just one of them. It was 159, 159. Then I did a 2 minute flat, and then I did another 159. And then right towards the middle of the race, there was some, it was losing a little bit of power. There was some cutback. But nothing major at all. It just
dialing it back. Was it just heat or?
It was thermal cutback, I think.
Yeah, that's
said.
Heat.
I'm going to say as if I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's heat. That's either heat in the motor or heat in the controller.
Yeah, and so that was something else that, we learned with my bike is that, all right, like we see what's going on here under race conditions, like pushing the thing hard. Now we know we can make some changes on it and go faster the next round. And I'm excited about that because when I was racing and when I was in seventh place, I was gaining on the guys in fifth and sixth place.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see in the video, you'll see the first few laps, I'm getting a little closer and a little closer and a little closer to them. And then I lost just a little bit, just a half a second, a lap makes a difference. And I started dropping back away from them again. I'm like, oh man, I didn't have a thermal cutback. I could be catching them. And I say yelling at riders, I'm like, let's get them in my helmet as I'm racing. So there went my voice. But like it was really cool to see that. And you had mentioned in your write-up, I think, about the 450s that were in our race. Like it's not just 250s that we were racing against. It's also the 450 singles, which are pretty quick bikes. And the guy that took first, was walking away from everybody from what I heard. So,
He was running low bike, he was running at a 153, I think.
Yeah. So his bike's obviously a pretty quick one. But, I think that the TTX did really well proving itself against the 250 superbikes. I mean, it was competitive, obviously, there.
Yeah, amazingly well. Are you guys going to run 650 production at some point?
I'm not sure what the plans are.
Okay.
It's totally up to Brian. I know that we're eligible for a few different classes, but this was, our test weekend to see, what can we do?
Yep.
And it's busy when you're first. It's the first race against the grass bike, so.
Mm. Really busy.
Yeah, it was really busy. Makes it fun, but it was smooth.
You didn't heckle the other guys like, haha, you're only 10 seconds faster than me on your fancy prototypes. You didn't do anything like that, did you?
No, I didn't. I think Eric said it pretty well on Twitter last night. Somebody said something about,
you guys being
razzing.
Yeah, he said it was Proto Mech. He said something about you guys being too professional for smack talk or something like that.
Yeah,
because you got 7th out of 14, and the other guys were in the back of the pack. And Eric said no smack talk until.
Hey, they weren't in the back of the pack. They were just they weren't 7th like I was.
No, they were 14th. Eric was 14th.
Yeah,
and
but 17th. That was out of 22 riders, so they weren't at the back.
Only 20 bikes started according to
20? Okay.
According to the lap times.
Okay, yeah.
Lap time
that
starts.
Could be right.
Yeah.
Well, and Eric kind of said it right, no smack talk until we're P1.
Right. Well,
we'll joke about it a little bit. We were joking a little bit. The guys, the team was saying, oh, Shalina, you placed higher than Eric Bostrom. And I was like, yeah. But... was also going slower than Eric Bostrom. But it was cool. Eric's helped me out. I can't say it enough times. He's amazing how much, input that he gives me. And he gave me homework last night.
Yep.
Sent me home with homework. I need to – my next step is that I need to start sliding the bike, controlled sliding the bike on its side, supermoto style.
Ooh.
I was doing that on the supermoto bike.
You want to start sliding the TTX?
Yep.
That's gonna be some badass video.
Yeah.
Oh, we still gotta have that on video. This bike is so badass. This little production bike that only makes 54 horsepower. Watch it, Selena, slide it through the corner.
Power slide. It does slide. I mean, I was sliding on it in the practice, but that's like under power. It's not me purposefully going and sliding it. So he wants me to purposefully like do some controlled sliding and stuff like that. You know, testing the edge of traction, as he says.
Yeah. Yeah, sure thing, Eric. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, simple, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, Selena, go slide the bike.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but he explains everything and breaks it all down for me, and it helps out a ton.
He was helping me out on Twitter.
Yeah?
Yeah, he did simple little tweets, and they're like huge helps. And I'm like, man, this guy's like, he's just awesome.
Yep, he's on it. He's on the ball.
So go ahead.
And that's the thing with working with him with Brembo too. He's the same way with the bikes, like developing the bikes. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I came up with I wrote a final thing last night. I kind of hemmed and hawed whether I should sit on it a day, and I said, to heck with it. And I was looking at times because they never broke last year. They broke Michael Barnes' time, Barney's time on the Lightning. They broke his race time, but they never touched his qualifying time of a 1:47.
Mm, okay.
Eric said he got down to a 1:48 in practice, so they got close. So I'm like baffled, completely and utterly baffled, because that bike is way better than it was at Laguna, and Steve had that thing within 0.3 of a second, you know, or 0.1 of a second in lap times at one point of the Lightning last year at Laguna.
Yeah.
So I was just baffled, and I went back, and Steve was running around with Graves Yamaha R6s and stuff at Thunder Hill. So I thought, you know, I thought for sure this thing was going to go a lot faster than they did, and it just points out how unique tracks are. And it just seems like to me that Sonoma, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or right, Sonoma really rewards a lighter bike. Is that?
Sonoma is a very technical track, so it rewards a well-handling bike, which is kind of counterintuitive that, you know, Lightning wasn't the best handling bike. It was quick, right?
Yeah.
But what I mean, I don't know. You know I'm not the technical end of things. And
but I know it's like your home track, so.
Yeah, well, I imagine also that Lightning was probably able to turn the bike up, basically, for qualifying, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And make the bike a lot faster to go get some hot laps in.
Yeah. Oh, he was wheeling that thing all over the place last year.
Yeah, and we weren't doing that. Like, that wasn't our goal. Our goal was to get a consistent time and be able to test, like, okay, you know, what's this thing going to do in the race? That was our whole weekend. We didn't, turn the bikes up just to get a fast qualifying time.
All right. No. You guys didn't even have a chance to qualify necessarily, did you?
No, just it was practices. We had three or four practice sessions on Saturday, and then a 10-minute practice is all we had on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then raced them. So it was all about, like, okay, like, let's get the thing set up for the track was priority, and then let it get through. You know, how's it going to do in the race condition? So.
Cool. Well, what I did was, I mean, because you guys are running. Yeah, I know. I went back and, like, you guys were still would have been the RRs would have been maybe in the top five and maybe the top five in qualifying for the Harleys.
Okay.
At Sonoma. Whereas, you know, there's some really weird numbers stuff going on. It looks like to me at Sonoma, all the AMA classes are really close together,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, whereas other tracks, there's big gaps like at Laguna Seca. And at Sonoma, the little zeros, the little 26 horsepower zeros that raced there last year were well within the FIM's electric cutoff time, mm-hmm. which is 120% of the average of the three fastest times, which is a little convoluted, but But at Laguna,
that's
they weren't anywhere
broad.
Near it. What's that?
I said, yeah, it's pretty. That's pretty
yeah.
broad. That's a,
yeah. yeah, but it's for electric racing. You kind of had to
yeah.
have it. But so the zeros were well within the cutoff at Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't at Laguna. And it's just like this really weird mind thing going on with me and Sonoma, man. It's tripping me out.
yeah. it's just different tracks, I guess.
Yeah, it reacts really differently. But
and
wow.
also, like, at Laguna, there's some pretty big hills. So that might be part of it, too.
It just seems like Laguna might it's the corners are more sweeping, and
yeah.
it might help hide weight.
Oh.
Is what I'm thinking. Horsepower is a little more rewarded, and it might the higher corner speeds might help hide the weight, whereas Sonoma might be a little bit tighter, and a lighter bike can accelerate up and out of the corner better.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can carry more corner speed.
Yeah, I think so, too. And the hills are just not as big at Sonoma as, I mean, there's a lot more hills at Sonoma, but,
yeah.
like, Laguna has those two, like, long,
big
long hills.
Maybe the torque from electric motors give them an advantage.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we're all
torque
speculating.
From electric motors, let me tell you about starts.
yeah, I heard you, like, took 5 bikes off a line.
Okay, so mind you, I'm pretty good at starts as it is, all right? Not to toot my own horn or anything, but I'm going to toot my own horn for a second.
All right, fair enough.
I love starts. I've always loved starts. I, like, man, I shoot the whole shot every time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know what to think about. I've never – we're, like, at the end of our practice session on Saturday, and somebody looks at me and goes, oh, Shalina, you should do some practice starts. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've never even – thought about that. I've never practiced started on this thing, you know?
Mm.
And so I'm used to on a 600, like using the clutch, you know?
Mm.
So I go out and I got, what, like 6 practice starts in out on hot pit lane. And like my friend Adam Schindler, he races in the 250s on a 450 single also.
Mm.
And it was weird, like, I went out there to practice my starts, and, you know, normally when you're doing race starts, if there's somebody else doing a race start, you pull up next to them, you guys will both, like, you know, get ready and kind of practice together, right?
Mm.
I tried
yeah.
with, like, 4 people to try to get, you know, like, pull up next to them, like, all right, let's do a practice start, right? None of the 600s would practice with me. they ignored me. I'm like, you don't want to get beat by an electric bike or something, you know?
Girl on electric bike?
Girl on electric bike. And so then finally my friend Adam came out and he did some practice starts with me.
Mm.
And I was glad to see that the TTX was pretty comparable with the 450 on the starts. And I practiced starting in first gear, practiced starting in second gear, but I was using the clutch, which I think I would have gotten a better start if I didn't use the clutch.
Mm.
But anyways, regardless, gridded up for the race, and then 14th on the second spot from the left, and everybody kind of bottlenecks going into turn one after
yeah.
the start, and the guys had warned me about the power difference between the TTX and their bikes, like basically the power band is in different spots.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, so I'm ready to go, and green flag goes down, and I kind of lugged it a little bit in
yeah.
the very beginning. And I think because I wasn't using the clutch right, you know. And so they start to go a little bit, get away from me a little bit. Man, I got on that throttle so hard, and I passed, like, the whole row in front of me, and I just dove into turn one, like, underneath these guys, and there's some like, loose dirt and stuff on the inside of turn one. And I was like, I better just trust this bike to stick because I'm going for it. You can see on the video I passed a couple people on the inside right there in turn one, just dove down underneath of them, come up in a turn two, and there's a couple guys to my right, and we're, like, battling for position there. And then I come up over turn two, and I'm, like, having to slow down because it's bottlenecking again for turn three. And so it was, like, that was kind of frustrating. But then passed a couple more guys going into turn seven, and, yeah, it was a great start to the race.
What was the right? What's it like What's it like racing the TTX? You finally got to race the TTX. What's it like?
Finally got to race it. What's it like? It's like racing any other bike. it was, we got the thing handling really well, and it's, I mean, the power is, they have made the thing mimic a gas bike by having the engine braking and everything else, you know? And so it's really easy to ride it. The frustrating part is when you're in the middle of the race and gaining on the guys in front of you and you start losing power. So now we've got to make that, we've got to correct that a little bit,
right.
You know?
Well, that was, that's heat. That's heat. And that's
yeah. But, you know, that's just the next step, figuring out how to get that to work better, better cooling or whatever. And that's when the announcer, you said that the announcer had mentioned, oh, I hope that she, that the bike finishes.
Oh, yeah, every freaking electric bike. There was one, the Scottish guy was all excited about Shalina and the electric bike, and the other guy's like, well, you know, we'll see if it can make it to the end.
Oh, God.
You know.
Well, it did.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah, we were looking at it, we're like, we're not even sure it used more than 60% of the battery pack.
Yeah. Yeah, there was at least. There's at least 30% left when I came in. I thought that there was more towards 50% left. Brian said he thought it was closer to 30. So it still had a bunch left in there, regardless.
Nice.
And that was after doing another lap for the cool down, you know, and everything else. So
yeah.
Made it plenty well.
I know. It was the dumbest thing. Every time the electric bike came up, well, we'll see if it can make it to the end. Like, it's going to
run. But honestly, you know, I don't mind that because you need a little bit of that. That spices it up.
Like, well, that's true, but it's like, you know, you just wish they'd pay attention and know that it's not going to run out of battery. You know, something's going on. Is it the encoder? Did it overheat?
Yeah.
Well, you just.
But they don't know.
No, they don't know. And it was funny because ArcEV, who's a team in England, and they've got a 400cc champion that's their rider.
Uh-huh.
And he said, like, apparently, is I can't remember his name, Richie, is, I don't know his first or his last name. Anyway, so apparently when the announcers make dumb comments like that, apparently he stomps right over there and straightens them out.
Nice.
I couldn't see Eric going over there and being all, I see Eric going, hey, man.
Yeah.
I have plenty of battery juice, man.
No, Eric wouldn't care. It's like, we're going to prove it with the bike. That's how he would probably be.
Yeah, you know, like, that is. Yeah.
And, like, that's what we did. I mean, that's what we did anyway. I think it's cool because in the end of the weekend, we took 7th place after starting 14th place. And that's not because anybody crashed. That's because
you
I don't think
crash.
Anybody in our race crashed. That's because...
Yeah.
You know, I got the bike to go.
Yeah.
Bramo did a good job of setting the bike up, and we were able to move up on the grid. And then it's, you know, we know that there are some things that we can improve on so that we can hopefully take a higher place in the next race. And
yep.
It was the same thing. It was the same thing with the Supermoto race, actually. Like,
tell
going
us
in there,
tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, we went in there basically totally unprepared. It was a last-minute thing. We threw the bike in the trailer. Can we get it down here? Let's do it. Supermoto USA was excited to have us. And so we went for it, you know, but it was the same thing. Like, is the bike going to finish the race? Like, we have really no idea. We had a battery in the bike that isn't made for that bike. We don't know. We don't know how it's going to perform. The thing had never seen dirt before, except for the couple donuts I spun in the parking lot, you know, like, and so here we are in Supermoto race, and I started out 7th, I think, and then I jumped right up into 4th and held 4th the whole time, and about, you know, halfway or three-quarters through that race, I could feel the bike losing power, but I had enough of a advantage over 5th place that I stayed in 4th for the rest of the time. Even though it did lose some power, but so we know, okay, so that one, we have to figure out what's going on there and get it to be able to run the full race with all the power, because it still had a lot of battery left at the end of that race also. So, you know, it's just tweaking it and tuning it, and we didn't have any time to, so now we know all right, like, next time maybe if we can get the thing running how we want it, maybe even get a Parker motor in that one, then be able to win that race. And it's, to me, cool because all of the skeptics are going to, like, they saw both of the bikes finish the race, you know, and they saw that they did well. They were above, you know, above mid-pack for sure. And so then the next time when we're able to gain some spots, they're going to be like, wow, all right, you know. And that's my background too. I was really skeptical of electric bikes, as you know.
Yeah.
And now seeing the progress of them, like, okay, they won me over, you know?
Yeah. And being part of the progress even.
Yeah. Being part of the progress is amazing.
So you were talking about how the rain had kind of messed you up. You're gonna do a heat race. How did your heat races go? How many heat races did you have, and how did they go?
I only had one heat race.
Okay.
And it went really well, but we had a bit of a mix up on paperwork with Supermoto, and so instead of getting gridded fourth, like what I took in the heat race, I ended up getting gridded in seventh or eighth in the third row instead of in the first or the second row. So huge disadvantage for the start of the race, but like whatever, I didn't care. I honestly didn't even care. I just wanted to do the race. Like,
right.
My goal was to get that Supermoto bike out there racing.
How many bikes on the grid?
From what?
How many bikes on the grid?
There was only eight bikes on the grid, so I was last or second to last to start. So,
nice.
But I didn't care. I just wanted to be able to be racing it because I wanted to, I don't know, get it in the eyes of the public. And it's the first electric bike we've ever had racing Supermoto, and I wanted to get some kind of a result to show Bramhall, like, hey, maybe we should do something with this, you know. Put some time into it, and then to show Supermoto that we could be competitive, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I think that we did all of those.
That sounds like they're really excited. Now, you were talking about, you were hoping you could do the heat race, watch Steve race, and then the rain messed all that up?
Well, because of the rain, Supermoto sped their schedule up because they wanted to get in as many races as possible, you know? So they sped their schedule up, and then AFM had to slow their schedule down because they couldn't, you know, they couldn't work into the rain at all. And so instead of – it was going to be perfectly timed. I was going to go up and do my heat race, come back down, watch Steve race, go back up, do my main race in Supermoto, come back down and watch Eric race. But instead – And mind you, like, we're in the garage down at the road racetrack. We have to – there's no announcements or anything. We have to ride back up to Supermoto. All the charging is happening in the garage down at the road racetrack.
Yeah.
And so we've got the Supermoto racer on the charger, and we've only got two chargers. We've got the RR bikes are priority, right? So we're, like, really trying to time this stuff without taking away from the road race bikes because those are the priority. And it was like, okay, it ends up being that you know, okay, I've got to run up Supermoto, and Eric and Steve are both putting on their helmets, so we're all putting on our helmets at the same time, getting ready to go race, and we're like all giving each other knuckles, like, all right, team, let's go. And off
nice.
We all go race.
Nice.
Yeah,
it
ended up being fun, but I would have liked to watch them race.
Yeah.
And they were to watch me race, too. Eric and Steve were so cool. They came up for my practice. Supermoto USA did, like, an interview with me and did let me do some demo laps for everybody this week.
I saw the demo laps, yeah.
Did you? Those were really, really slow. The track was very cold, and I was on cold tires, too. So, mind you, those were slow, but it was cool that they let me do them. And it was even cooler because my whole team came up to watch me do it. All of Bramo, all of Parker, both of my teammates, everybody came up to watch me do the demo laps.
That's awesome.
Even my mom was there.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was cool.
Nice. And then, so did you guys end up throwing caution in the wind and just playing with the suspension anyway?
On the TTX or on the...
No, on the Engage.
Yeah, we sure did. We definitely threw caution to the wind. That's what we do.
All right.
I think I told you on Saturday when I rode, I got two sessions of practice in on Saturday on the Engage, and hit the jump, and the thing bottomed out. There was tire marks on the subframe, so which is a little bit scary. So we messed with some things, and the main guy, like we talked about, Craig, wasn't there, but Jason seems like kind of a whiz kid on it anyway, so he was figuring some stuff out, and then we had some help from Michelle DeSalvo, total fast girl, and she's really good with setup, and we were able to tweak it a little bit, and I don't know if we went the right way or the wrong way, but it didn't bottom out the next day, and I was hitting the jump harder, so it I was still taking it easy because I don't know the bike that well, but I was nearly clearing the tabletop on it, so I mean it was doing pretty good.
Nice. All right. So just for those folks that want to, you know, the Supermoto guys want to talk smack, well, it couldn't really catch any air. It wasn't because the bike couldn't catch air. It was because you had never tested it, and the suspension wasn't set up right. What's that?
Were people saying that?
No, but I'm just trying to nip it in the bud before they do.
Oh, in the demo laps, you mean?
No, in the race.
In the race it was catching air. In the race I was dang near clearing the tabletop, so it was catching air.
Cool.
Like, we had a real short run right before the tabletop, and the pro guys are clearing the tabletop, but I was definitely taking it easy. It would have cleared it fine.
Yeah.
But I was taking it easy because I don't want to bottom the thing out and end up crashing their prototype bike. That would be awesome.
Are you going to get to race it again? Are they going to try to work it out so you can race it again?
Hopefully they'll get some, you know, a bug in their ear telling them that it would be a really good idea to do so, because I would really like to. It was the people, the Supermoto crowd was really excited to see it there, you know, and I think that they'll be excited to see it doing better if we can get the thing tuned and the suspension dialed in. The thing's going to haul, and so I think, you know, going from fourth place to leading the race, everybody's going to be excited to see that. The kids up there all wanted one. Everybody wanted to test ride the thing. We, you know, they heard that there's an MX, a Brembo MX bike, and the kids were just, you could see the stars in their eyes, you know. They're like, oh, my God, we want one. So I think just for the interest that there is with the Supermoto crowd, I think we need to do another race.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's
I'm
so
excited.
Cool.
So, you know, like, you're good at putting bugs in ears.
I'm good at being annoying.
I think some bugs in ears would be good. So.
All right. Well, hey, you know.
And it was cool because Supermoto was so open to it, too. I mean, it wouldn't hurt if anybody listening wants to see that thing out there again, write to Supermoto USA, Brock McAllister, and tell him, like, hey, we want to see the Engage back out there, or write to Brammo and tell them, push Lena back on the Engage, because, like, it helps when they hear from people about it. Brammo didn't think that we would have such a good response on the Supermoto bike, so that's why they hadn't put a lot of time into it so far, I guess. I mean, they've got their time invested in the road race bikes, but
right.
If they heard that more people are interested in it, then they'd probably do something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it's funny because you would think Zero, would be kind of all over that.
The Supermoto or the MX?
Yeah, Supermoto. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their MX is a monster.
Yeah, well, and BRD has been. And BRD's been testing their Supermoto bike.
Yep.
So I'm a little surprised that they didn't have one racing before us.
Yeah, they're a lot
but
smaller.
They
like,
we did.
Yeah. Well, they're a lot smaller. They're like four guys in some warehouse in San Francisco.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, and they haven't got the production bikes out yet. But yeah,
Neither do we.
Yeah, well, no, but you have other production bikes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So. You're actually starting to make money now. But
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can find some backing to keep on doing the Supermoto stuff, because I know that Bramo's resources are invested right now in the road race stuff. So I know that I was pushing them to do the Supermoto stuff, and thankfully it didn't take a ton of extra effort because we were already doing the road race stuff. But I know it's going to take a little bit more effort. They're going to have to dedicate some guys for Team Bramo Supermoto.
Oh, well, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yep. It was a good race weekend all in all. I'm stoked.
Oh,
one small
awesome.
Step for Bramo, one
giant
large leap for electric bike kind, right?
Fourth and the seventh, man.
Yep,
fourth
yep.
And the seventh.
Pretty happy with it all in all.
And then how is the electric, how is the engaged to ride compared to your, what do you normally race?
I switch bikes there. I ride either a 230 or a Brock runs Supermoto USA, and he's got some pretty beefed up 150s mm-hmm. that I ride sometimes, and then other times I'll ride a little 100. But the Engage, I think, is really comparable to a 150, like a beefed up 150, which
yeah.
anybody that rides Supermoto knows that they're pretty quick. And they're like, you know, a beefed up 150 is pretty comparable to a 230.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a regular
well, how,
230.
How's the power feel? I mean, when you, is it, how trackable is it? Is there more traction to be had with the electric bike? Is it easier to get that tire to hook up?
No.
No.
It is, okay, mind you, we didn't have Supermoto tires on it, okay?
Right.
Like, we started off with road tires, street tires, which are not fun to ride, to race on ever, okay? And then we took my takeoffs off of the TTX. So we had road race tires on it, which are not getting up to heat on a cold day on a Supermoto track with partial dirt, okay?
Right.
So it was greasy. And that track is a slick track anyway. So it would have been great to have tires that were more suited for Supermoto. But that being said, that bike, like, on the greasier tires, on the greasier track, like, it handled great. Like, I was able to slide this thing into the corners once we had the tires heated up and everything. It was sliding into corners. I was sliding, power sliding out of corners. I was able to lean it over more, which was more comfortable for me, you know. The issue that you run into that you have to control is that there's no engine braking in that bike, and it just winds up, right? Like, so if your tire gets loose, it just keeps going because the power of there is like basically infinite. So if you lose traction in the dirt and you don't let loose on the throttle, the tire is just going to spin up like crazy, you know? And I did that a couple of times. Like, I was coming out of, there's a little spot where you come out of the dirt section onto the track and then back onto a dirt section, right? Well, I'm spinning in the dirt and then it comes onto the asphalt and it's just like, whing, like spins up, you know? I'm like, whoa, 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 okay. Ease up on that throttle. And same thing when I went from the asphalt to the dirt, it just like spun up. So I had to learn to control that. Once I did, it was fine, you know? And then one time I almost crashed the bike. Like, I come through the corner just sliding, and then it ends up hooking up and it kind of whipped me a little bit, but
yeah.
It was fine. Like, it did hook back up and it wasn't dangerous at all. It's just like, you better respect the power of the thing, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing with electric bikes is there's no inertia in the motor. So once that tire spins, that motor just, once it, you know, starts spinning, the motor just, zoom, is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Which is cool. Like,
so what,
I mean, they're going to figure out how to make that bike closer to a gas bike, too.
Well, the trash control.
Yeah.
And they got the trash control and the RRs. All they got to do is apply it to
the engine braking, too, is going to make a difference.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't have any engine braking yet?
None. No.
Ooh.
So this bike is the Engage. This is the first time that Bramo had tried it, the transmission. Do you remember the Impulse prototype that I rode like last year sometime?
Yeah, you
I
hit like
Ashland.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like one of their first ones with a gearbox.
Yeah.
Remember? Well, this one was actually before that.
Yeah, this is like I think the they had that prototype first. Is it one that the Italian guys built, SRME?
Yeah, you might be right on that. I'm not 100% sure, but what I know is that all of the development that they've had on the Impulse, it hasn't been poured into the Engage yet.
No, no.
So this one's still really basic, one of the Bramo's first deals, you know.
First
so if they're able to put what they've learned from the Impulse into the Engage,
yeah,
the bike is going to be amazing.
So I just want to get this straight. You went from you did really well in your heat. Did you win your heat?
No, I got fourth in the heat. I started from the back.
You got fourth in the heat, but because of the paperwork, it puts you second to last.
Yep.
In seventh place.
Mm-hmm. And
you're
back
on a
row,
bike.
Third row.
You're on a bike that has been nothing more than a test mule for the original transmission, and they mm-hmm. run errands on it sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
You had little to no time to get the suspension anywhere near close.
Yeah.
And you didn't have proper tires all weekend.
Yeah.
Yet you still got fourth place.
Yep.
Hmm. Sounds like that bike's got a lot of potential.
It's got a lot of potential. And, yeah, and if we can get it running anywhere near what the potential is on it, I'm going to go win that class. So
nice.
I'm trying to get him to get that bike out there again.
Send these. Come on, just you know, I'll rent a van and come pick it up. Just give me some extra battery packs. And
yeah. And what's going to be cool is with the potential that they have, that actually run, it could run up in other classes too. If I bet you that they could make that bike powerful enough to run against bigger than 230 bikes.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're only allowed to run it with whatever bikes it's powerful, its power compares with. But
right.
I think that in a very close bike to that, it'll be able to run with bigger bikes. So.
And then maybe Parker has some extra money and a motor kicking around.
If Parker has a motor kicking around, I would love it. That bike would be amazing. So.
Yeah, so that's, you know,
I already
Parker.
Put bugs in ears for that.
Parker.
Parker.
Needs to find a motor.
Yes. Yep, we are. And they came up to watch the race, too. So I think that it sparked some interest for them, too. It would be really cool.
Yeah.
They've got some great motors, and I know that could add some snap to that bike.
Yeah. Yeah, and a water-cooled one. Water-cooled one. Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
You don't have engine braking.
Nope.
You didn't have proper tires. Suspension wasn't anywhere near, right?
And the bike is still badass.
And this bike is still badass.
Yep.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
that's
and it's cool awesome. Because this is a class that, I mean, I raced the Supermoto USA all last year.
Yeah.
So I already know, like, where I compare in the classes. On a regular gas bike, you know?
Yeah.
So I know as a rider that I'm capable of winning that class, and so I know that with just, I can feel like just a little bit more on that bike, and we're going to win that class. So,
nice.
Like, let's do it.
So the power did cut back towards the end of the race on this bike.
Yeah, pretty
well.
Substantially. It was,
oh, wow.
We're going to talk about it. I'm going to talk to Bramo about it again, but yeah, I could feel it big time.
Yeah.
I was watching once it started cutting back. I was like, really watching my corner speeds and watching the rider behind me, you know, because I didn't want to lose a spot. And so, but I think that it did it more in the race. It cut back more in the race than it did at practice, during practice.
I think it's
from being harder on it,
yep.
You know? So I was watching that too, and once I started like focusing on that, like not being so aggressive on the throttle coming out of the corners, like letting it carry more corner speed, it was almost like it was regenerating itself or something. It was like
dialing the power back up. The temperature came back down.
Exactly.
You got the temperature down so you could dial the power back up. What there is the controller is a properly built electric motorcycle, it has heat sensors pretty much everywhere. In the batteries, in the controller, and in the motor. And then it's programmed to dial the power back if the heat in any one of those gets too high.
Yeah.
And then so like on your TTX, it's really, really refined. So they know that they don't have to dial it back way back. They know they can just dial it back a little bit, which is what you felt on the TTX. And I am kind of making giant assumptions here, but I think I'm pretty educated on it. And so what you get is that one is the prototype. It's probably got some really conservative numbers, and it's like, holy crap, I'm hot. Turn it back 40%.
Yeah. Well, and I don't really know what settings it even has, because I know that they were pretty adamant about like watch the temperature on this one or no, they said watch the battery, because once it got below a certain amount, they were like, you need to stop riding it. And it didn't get below that. Even when I rode a full practice and another half a practice all at once, it didn't get below that. So, I mean, that was encouraging.
Yeah, no, you had said last Saturday that, well, Sunday morning for me, that it was everyone was really impressed with the batteries, how well the batteries held up. So I figured
it went way longer. That's why I was a little bit surprised it had cut back in the race, you know. But I think just from pushing it so hard.
Yeah, it's probably heat in the controller or the motor.
Yeah, but we're gonna fix it, and then we're gonna go try her again.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, all in all, it was an awesome weekend. I loved it. I had a blast. It was nice working with the team finally as like a race team, you know, not just testing and stuff. I got to actually race the bike and race there with Eric and with Steve. And it was cool. I love how the team works together. It was great to have all the Parker guys there. And, you know, like Eric said, it was kind of opening a new chapter.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's cool. I wrote my piece. I started off I get so focused on lap times, I kind of forget to step back and look at the bigger picture and appreciate what's going on. So it was a phenomenal weekend.
Same with me. I said that to Adrian last night. He said, you know, great job this weekend and blah, blah. And I started reading all the posts that everybody was posting about it. And I'm like, I told Adrian, I'm like, wow, I guess I got so busy in the racing end of it. I didn't realize like what a big weekend this was. It was a huge step.
Yeah.
Racing with the gas bikes and everything.
Oh, my site went nuts.
Did it? Good.
Yeah. Daytona, I had two records for traffic from Daytona, and that was 389 hits in one day and 1,555 hits for the week.
Wow.
And yesterday, the way my site calculates it, Sunday is the last day of the week and Monday is the first day.
Mm-hmm.
I broke my daily record, my highest hits in the day by 101.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I got 490 hits and I broke my weekly record by 100 exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. And I tweeted you guys, all you guys, and then, you know, Brian, Eric, Steve, you, and Bramo says, you know, to let you know, like, people were watching.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
I wasn't trying to brag, like, hey, I got this many, I mean, I got that many hits because you guys are out there and people are interested in it.
Well, and they said, too, that the AFM was reporting record numbers also for people watching.
the site went down like Saturday.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh my, because too many people were watching.
Well, it was, it's a different site to watch, but
yeah,
but the, like the main site went down. I don't know. They fixed it. I messaged them on Facebook or something saying, I don't know if anyone's pointed this out, but your main page won't come up. And then I had to fix it a couple hours later. But the video was on a different website.
Okay.
So, and I did hear the announcers say, hey, if you're watching on the web, you know, the web, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I put it out there. I put that stream address up there like at least twice. It's been on the forums two or three times, the Bramble forums. I tried to, you know, Bramble put it out there. Because, you know, Bramble's got like almost 30,000 followers. So, you know, when they put something out.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be big news, so.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad that so many people are watching it. It's definitely encouraging.
Yeah, it was frustrating, though, because it was like commercials, like all the time. The longer I watched it, the more commercials it threw at me. And it'd be like Steve's, the 750 Superbike race. It was like the last lap or two. A freaking commercial came on.
What?
Two commercials came on with like the last two laps to go.
And you gotta tell them it's that. That's terrible. You're like, no, then you don't want to buy whatever it is that's just stressing your face.
Yeah,
no, I don't want that product.
Protomech will never ever buy a Wii ever again.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So yeah,
we
were on.
I better get on the horn here. I gotta call Bramo, and we've got to talk about that supermoto bike. And I, you know, after sleeping on things, I come up with a couple more things that I want to talk to them about on the TTX, and make sure I get it while it's fresh in my head.
Okay.
So better give them a call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for taking time.
Yeah, for sure. You know, anytime. Thanks for keeping everybody posted on us. I really appreciate it. We didn't have a lot of time to be on the horn about, like, updating the sites and stuff, and I can't wait to see the pictures coming out, but, like, it was nice to see that you and a couple of people were actually, like, up on updating the people that were trying to get the information. So.
Yeah, I was throwing it out there. People were – it was weird. I was doing updates on Facebook, which then if I post anything on Facebook, it automatically goes to Twitter. And I haven't been getting a lot of traffic on Facebook, but the site's been getting a lot of traffic, so.
Cool.
You know, so I started doing some pretty regular, I did probably 4 or 5 posts yesterday, just trying to keep people updated.
Good. Yeah, no, I really appreciate it.
So,
I know Parker's getting involved in letting people know, too. I saw that on Twitter. I like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're all on there now. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yep. I think we got a pretty cool setup going, so. Excited for the next one.
Yep.
All right, Richard. Well, I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, Shalina, again. I'm sure I mentioned this before. I did try last minute try to get Eric and Brian on. Just haven't heard back from them. So it was a last minute shot effort. So hopefully I'll be able to talk to someone there and get the story behind the RRs once things have settled down and they've had some time to think about it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for reading. Thank you all for your support. To all the new followers and listeners and readers, you know, hey, welcome and thank you. And you guys are making this the site's just blown up this weekend, so I'm a little flabbergasted. It's you know, for such a little thing, it's really taken off. So thank you all, and hey, have a good week, and we look forward to whatever it is that the next race is, and I look forward to sitting in front of the computer for hours trying to cover that. All right, I'll talk to you all later. Keep the rubber side down. Good night.